I'll just pray before we get into God's word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity this evening to enjoy really praising you, Lord God. To worship you, Lord God, with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. To love you in the same way, Lord God, is what we're called to do. Once we were dead in our sins, separated from you, and could never have done that, Lord. But because of Jesus, it's possible. And we thank you that through Jesus, we know you as our Father. And we know that you love us with an everlasting love. Help us, Lord, please, tonight to hear what you're saying to us as we continue in this series, what's happening in this broken world. Lord, enable us, please, to understand what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just drop that down, Mark, slightly? I think that's it. That's great. Okay, last week's topic, as you know, we always like to review. Last week's topic in what in this broken world is happening was lies. And I tell lies. And I'm the pastor. Some people say more the pasty. I tell lies. And I have to go to the Lord and say to the Lord, I'm really sorry. You know, I told a lie this week because I hadn't the heart to tell. Imagine me saying this. I hadn't the heart to tell someone what I really thought. But I hadn't. I think that it probably threw themselves off the pier if I told them what I really thought. So I had to be nice. And as Keith Mooney used to say, you know, he touched the sensitive button. When people used to come to Keith, and Keith learned, Keith just to just say it as it is, just say whatever needs to be said. And he didn't worry about how they felt until his wife said to him, look, try to imagine that you have a sensitive button here on your chest. And when someone comes to say something, you're about to say something, push the sensitive button. Well, I was thumping mine like Tarzan, trying not to say, and I sort of told a wee porty, not to hurt the person's feeling, but I had to go back to the Lord and say, look, I'm sorry, but I just couldn't have said it some other way. Last week's subject was lies. None of us are exempt. And it seems, in fact, as I said, it seems lies are part of everyday life in every society and in every culture in our world. Lying is considered to be the most common wrong thing that we humans do. And that's why I put my hands up to it. But see, whenever I'm standing at the front going through what's happening in this broken world and saying, oh, yous are all worriers, yous are all liars, yous are all this and all of that, you know, I'm talking about myself here too, because I'm having to prepare this and God's convicting me through the week for my sin and pointing out stuff to me. Lying is considered to be the most common wrong thing that we humans do. Someone said, lying is an unavoidable part of human nature. But is it unavoidable? Or is it just part of human makeup? Part of our sinful nature? Well, in Proverbs 6:16-19, they tell us, in these verses, they tell us that the Lord considers lying. And it doesn't matter whether it's a wee white lie or a big black lie. Doesn't matter what it is. God considers lying an abomination. In one of the Ten Commandments, however, God says, do not lie. Therefore, because God says, do not lie, it must be possible not to. Now, we have learned over many, many years to become used to lying. And as I said, I put that verse, as I called it, on my WhatsApp. A lie is an abomination unto the Lord, but a very present help in time of need. And people actually thought that that was a scripture verse. We got so used to telling lies. The Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky said this: above all, don't lie to yourself. The person who lies to him or herself and listens to their own lies comes to a point they cannot distinguish the truth within or around them, and so loses all respect for themselves and others. And having no respect, they cease to love. In this broken world, entangled in a web of deceit, lies make us unable to distinguish truth, lose any respect for ourselves and others, causing our love to grow cold, and can make us an abomination unto the Lord. And Christian, when we lie, we need to go before God because it is an abomination, and we need to ask for forgiveness. There is forgiveness. God says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was last week's message. Some years ago, when I was over visiting a friend of mine, he's a minister in Edinburgh, and while I was over visiting him, he introduced me to a book, and I may have mentioned this book before here, I don't know, but it's called The Wisdom of the Enneagram. Okay, The Wisdom of the Enneagram. And the book suggests that people fit into one of nine personality types. Okay, that's it. All of these people who have put this book together saying, of every human being on the planet, they will fit into one of these nine personality types. And the nine types are known as this. Number one, the reformer, the helper, the achiever, the individualist, the investigator, the loyalist, the enthusiast, the challenger, and the peacemaker. Isn't that incredible? Think about this now again here. I'll do it quicker. The reformer, the helper, the achiever, the individualist, the investigator, the loyalist, the enthusiast, the challenger, and the peacemaker. And each personality type has distinct traits that makes that person who they are. Which type do you think I am? Wee bit of my personality disorder. I'm a wee bit of them all. Well, my friend in Edinburgh, he thinks I'm type 8, right? He thinks I'm type 8, the challenger. Because the challenger is, now wait for it, the challenger is powerful. Sounds just like me. The challenger is dominating. That wouldn't be me. The challenger is self-confident. He's decisive, willful, and confrontational. And my friend says, you are definitely type 8. And when I read the chapter on type 8, I actually think, you know what? I think he's wrong. Personally, I disagree, because I think I'm more type 7, the loyalist. It's coming up to 12th, you've got to say that. But you know something? You should Google, if you get the chance and go home, Google the Enneagram. It's E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M, the Enneagram, and see what type you are. You can do a wee quiz thing, and you can see what type you are. Now, obviously, do not put a lot of weight behind it or pay a lot of heed to it, but it really is thought-provoking. And as you start to read these nine types, you start thinking, flip, that's just like so-and-so. That's just like so-and-so. And rather than seeing people as individuals, you see them as numbers. Oh, they're number 8. Or definitely a number 1. They're definitely a number 6. It's an incredible thing to look, but go, if you get a chance, Google it and see. But before I move on here, I read another interesting article on Thursday of last week, and it links to this to some degree. But before I get into that, let me just read you a few verses from the Bible. You'll not need to turn to them. I can promise you they're there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 24, the writer says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Isn't that lovely? Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Psalm 119, verse 36, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. James 3, verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now, from these verses, can anyone tell me what in this broken world is happening? Well, what in this broken world is happening is people are selfish. People are selfish. The article that I read on Thursday was written by a lady called Haley Schubert, and she's a New York-based writer who suggests, a wee bit like the Enneagram, that there are six categories of selfishness and selfish people. Only six, nine types of personalities, but six types of selfishness and selfish people. And she too gives them names. So she names the categories as this: the shotgun. Now, the shotgun, we all know. The shotgun is the person, when we're saying we're going out to the car, they must get the front seat. Yeah. The shotgun is the person who always needs the best out of everything. So I need to have the best seat. I need to have the best clothes. I need to make sure that my neighbors are jealous of me. I'm not the person who keeps up with the Joneses. The Joneses keep up with me. That's the shotgun. The second is the hoarder. And the hoarder has to acquire things, not out of need, but out of personal satisfaction. They just have to have things, and they want those things, and they do not care how they get those things. They will trample people underfoot to get those things. And then the most dangerous of the six is the he or the she devil. And let me tell you about them. They are so selfish. They will do whatever they have to do to take what is yours just to stop you having it. They will do whatever they have to do to take what is yours to stop you having it. They will do whatever they have to do to take your wife or to take your husband. Sanderson, I wish you could find one of them. They could take Jimmy away. But the he or the she devil, they are the most dangerous of the selfish people. And then there is the inconsiderate. They will take any situation and they will make it all about them. Oh, my mum died today. What do you mean your mum died? That's terrible. But I hear I sent you a text yesterday and you never responded. I'm really offended. They will turn any situation around to them because they are inconsiderate about other people's feelings. They don't care what other people are feeling and what other people are going through. They're only interested in themselves. And then you have fifth of the sixth is the self-loathing. These are the people who harm themselves quite a lot. The self-loathing, they give themselves to negative attention. And they are obsessed by their own flaws. Oh, my life is so terrible. Oh, woe is me. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I'm going to hack my arms. And I'm going to pretend to hang myself. I'm going to do all of these things and cry for help. They're self-loathing. And they're giving themselves negative attention because they feed on the negative attention. And they are obsessed, therefore, by their flaws. Finally, in the sixth category of selfishness and selfish people, there is the self-obsessed. And the self-obsessed person is bored to death by any conversation that doesn't revolve around them. That is the self-obsessed. If it doesn't revolve around them, they lose the will to live. I'm going home. This is crap. I can't be bothered with talking about this. Let's change the subject. And it's usually about them. Do you think in those, the shotgun, the hoarder, the he or she devil, the inconsiderate, the self-loathing, and the self-obsessed, do you think you recognize anyone from these descriptions? Well, don't be surprised if you don't. But make no mistake about it. This broken world is full of selfish people. In another article that I think I do nothing but read, but in another article that I read these words on how to deal with selfish people. Now, we need to hear this. This was from professional psychologists. This is how they said to deal with selfish people. Selfish people do not change. So don't waste your energy attempting to change them. Treat them exactly how they're treating you. It's impossible to comprehend the feeling of being damaged by someone unless you felt it yourself. Once you've given them a sample of their own toxic cocktail, slowly drift away and never look back. Even this advice on how to deal with selfish people is utterly selfish. Now, without getting into it now, I have to stress this evening that not all selfishness is necessarily bad or wrong. Not all selfishness is necessarily bad or wrong. However, the selfishness that's all about me, 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 I is absolutely abhorrent. These selfish people, they rarely consider the needs of others or their well-being. They would never think others better than themselves, or neither would they look out for the interests of other people. They see others in need, and although they have the capacity to meet that need, they won't do it because they are selfish. They are all about me, 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 and I. And if they even dared to reach out to help someone in need, it will be to see what I can get out of it. I want people to see me doing it so that they will praise me for doing it. Do you know, the former British Prime Minister, William Gladstone, said, "Selfishness is the greatest curse of the human race. Selfishness is the greatest curse of the human race." Selfishness is about being concerned excessively or exclusively for oneself or one's own advantage, pleasure, or welfare, regardless of others. Hear that? None of us like that here in Shiloh, sure there's not. Selfishness is about being concerned excessively or exclusively for oneself or one's own advantage, pleasure, or welfare, and it doesn't matter what others might be going through or what they feel. And this type of selfishness, let me tell you tonight, is utterly ungodly. And it does not reflect the glory of God, nor does it, nor can it glorify God. This type of selfishness is sin. Humans were made in the image and the likeness of God, and we were made to reflect His glory in and through our lives. But as a result of sin, we're prone, all of us, just as I could say I'm prone to telling porties, so we are all prone to selfishness rather than be like God, who demonstrates selflessness. The word sin has an I at the center, because sin is all about selfishness and self-centeredness. Sin is all about I want, I will, I am, I can, I won't, I, me, me, me. God did not create us to be selfish, and yet this broken world is full of selfishness. On the other hand, selflessness always considers the needs of others, and often at great cost to themselves. Selfless people will do what they can to meet other people's needs. Selflessness reflects the glory of God because God is selfless. God knew how desperately needy we humans were, cut off from His life, separated from His promises, destined for death and hell. And in His selflessness, He sent His Son Jesus to die in our place so that we could have life. The death of Jesus on our behalf for our sin was an act of selfless love. Christian, we need to be like God our Father in this broken world. We need to be like God our Father, like Jesus our Lord, and demonstrate selflessness rather than selfishness, because selflessness brings glory to our Father in heaven. So whichever personality type you think you are, we are all prone to selfishness and quite possibly fit into one of the six categories of selfishness. But just like lies, we don't have to tell them and add to the brokenness of this world. So too, we can choose not to be selfish, but rather demonstrate selflessness and consider the needs of others. So let's glorify our Father in heaven and honor Jesus our Lord by refusing to be selfish people. Maybe tonight there's someone here and you're not yet a Christian. Maybe someone watching on Facebook or listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. But let me tell you that God has demonstrated his selflessness toward you by giving his son Jesus to die so that you can receive forgiveness of sin and have everlasting life. Is it selfish or selfless to refuse to surrender to his love and give your life to him? This broken world is full of selfishness. Are you adding to the brokenness? Let's pray. Lord, when we look at you, Lord, we look at the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus, we see your selflessness demonstrated. That you sent Jesus into this world to die for selfish people. To die for people, Lord God, who were separated from you because of our willful rebellion against you. We were cut off from all of the promises that you make, Lord God. We were separated from you, destined for death and for hell. And in your selflessness, you sent Jesus into this world to die upon a cross, to pay the price for our sin, so that we could have life forevermore. How can we resist such selflessness? How can we resist your love? Father, please tonight help us not to be selfish, but like you, to be selfless and to demonstrate your love to others, to prefer others rather than ourselves, to reach out to meet the needs of others, to show love to others rather than to worry about our own hurts or our own feelings or maybe not getting what we expect. Lord, help us, please, to reflect your glory. Help us, please, to honor you, because we thank you for the wonderful demonstration of your selfless love in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.